Sylvia's Synergy Effect, brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got Mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting Mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy Effect with Synergy Home Care.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us for the next hour talking all things Titans. Brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa and Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. Send us your questions as well for PK on our text line. Best question wins a $50 Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card. We'll award that later in the program. So, PK, let's get to it. You did ask Brian Callahan about his job status on Monday after just an abysmal loss to Jacksonville to drop the Titans to 3-10. What did you make of his response to that? It was a pretty consistent line of questioning after that with him and his job status. What did you make of the way he handled that and where you think currently stand? Think things currently stand on that regard as it relates to him and this staff moving forward here?
I think, it's a standard answer, maybe the most important part of which is, have to be confident in what you're doing, and I remain confident in what I'm doing and what we're doing. I think that's important. You have to wonder if there are nights a guy in his situation drives home and wonders, Is this working? Am I doing it? And I understand that the stuff he's talking about progress-wise, I think he worked hard to save himself from saying, positive things, which was a big mistake to open the press conference with that. He later, in the same press conference, said nobody gives a bleep. And then Monday kind of worked to explain what he saw and stuff, but big picture, he says nobody cares, and it's absolutely true when you don't score a touchdown in that game. I still think, continuity outweighs some of these things, but I think it's a giant offseason if he's in place, which I expect him to be, to self-scout and grow and learn and self-correct a ton of stuff. And it's the first time that I had – I just kind of looked at it and I said, is he over his head with the red zone stuff? Just like not handing the ball off once from the 2-yard line. And that's not the first time we've seen that. And I'm thinking,
even going, you could argue going for it instead of field goals in a game like that. You could argue that.
Yeah.
Too.
But even the fact that Levis had Chig open on that one play, or that Ridley made the bonehead thing, just like, I think they overcomplicated things in a situation where things could have been easy.
Okay, so this is the week's theme is Brunette and Brian, fired or no?
Great times around here.
Yeah, but can we agree, and I know Robbie and I have talked about this, but like the idea of firing Brian Callahan independently of the front office, like instead of the front office, is insane?
I think, too. I mean, that front office is a big reason Brian Callahan's the hire. So
right, they hired him and gave him the players.
Right. You're going to let them stay and fire the guy that they hired?
So
it's crazy. If you're firing one person or one element of it, it can't be Callahan.
Yeah. So that's what I just want to clarify. So when you ask him, "What about your future?" you are really asking him, what about the entire Enterprise's future, right? Even though he can't answer to the other stuff.
Well, yeah, he can't answer to the other stuff. I did ask him at the end, like, do you feel like you're on an island?
Yeah.
Answering for everything that's going wrong when it's only
I like that one.
Partly
I
you.
I like that question.
And he said, no, it's my, you know, my job to be up here front face. I hate that they set it up, you know. We're going to set up this structure. They made a big announcement about the structure, and it's collaborative. And in this collaboration where everybody's collaborating, we're going to let the head coach take all the bullets. This is how we're going to collaborate. All the bullets for you, Brian.
Division of Labor. You get this one. You get Paul for the whole year. Here you go. Enjoy.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing. I thought he handled that part of it. I mean, what's he going to say? Is he going to get up there?
Yeah, he's almost
like,
enthusiastic.
Yeah.
He's very good at it.
He was very good.
And they obviously have other people who aren't very good at it.
Right.
And so, yeah, we'll let the people do the things they're good at.
Yeah, I mean.
And we'll wait to discover what some of the other people are good at.
Yeah. Sunday, one of those performances, though, you know, we talked about the goodwill built up with the Houston win, right? We all know that. That game, particularly that game on the road, means a lot to this owner and this organization. And then in the 2 weeks since then, you've just gotten your doors blown off in Washington, and you fail to score a touchdown and lose a game at home to what coming into the game is the worst team in the league. And that's when it starts. Like I said it on Monday's show, like Sunday, pretty big red flag for me, just in terms of the whole operation. And I include Callahan in that. Like, that's an inexcusable performance to me on Sunday to score 6 points against the Jacksonville Jaguars, quarterbacked by Mac Jones.
Well, I think two in a row. I mean, I think a lot has been washed away by giving up 28 points to Washington in 20 minutes and then by not being able to get in the end zone against the 26th scoring defense in the league, one of the worst passing defenses in the league. I think it's a huge mistake. Callahan only learns this in hindsight, but Amy Adams Strunk should know it by now, to not make the Houston game the Super Bowl of the season.
Yeah.
I don't care how much it means to you personally. And let's get past that.
Yeah, let's remind everybody that you live in Texas and that, you know, Nashville just gave you all this money, but you care more about what happens in Houston.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. Let's make a big deal out of that because everybody here gives a rat's ass.
Yeah, and that game is more important than anything. Yeah, so the Jags game, do you get a free pass for that one since they won in Houston? You get a free pass for 28 points in 20 minutes in Houston? Because the team went out in Washington like that, and they were hungover from your Super Bowl. So, you know.
So you buy the hangover thing now.
No, I'm saying that they say. Yeah. They're the guy that they say speaks for everyone in the locker room, and is the leader of the team, said they're hungover from that win. So, I mean, it's clearly a huge misplay to make that game so big, and that comes from the top, period.
I'm glad you brought up Jeff, because I did think the comment about, I'm sick of seeing my quarterback on the ground. I don't know. I thought that's a little bit beyond, I think, what we've heard from guys in terms of that's a little bit of calling out the other side of the
and
ball.
And
Daryl
Baker did the same thing. He either said, 10 points, holding them to 10 points is enough for us to win, or we've got to score more than 6 points. I don't know which side of that he said. I wasn't in that.
I mean, God,
gaggle.
Who can argue with that, though? Right. You know what I mean?
Like, but, you know, nobody says it out loud.
Yeah.
And he said it out loud.
But the quarterback thing, and that to me was like anger and like this offensive line sucks and I'm sick of watching them play. I mean, that's how I kind of interpret it.
No.
Do you think that's an indication of maybe the job getting harder for Brian Callahan here in the last month of the season?
I mean, I think Callahan handled that excellently as well. He said, that's a guy stating the obvious. We all feel that way. And I have no problem with him saying it, what we're all thinking.
Yeah, that's the right thing to say.
Yeah,
if you're the coach,
absolutely.
But
that's Jeff. Hey, I appreciate that Jeff going there. I think it's long overdue.
Discord.
It's a long overdue element of leadership that they claim he brings that he really doesn't. That he actually did.
So let me throw this out to both of you because
that trap.
We all agree that the idea of moving on from Callahan independently of the front office is ludicrous. And, you know, that's been brought up this week. It doesn't compute with me. Having said that, has Brian Callahan done enough in your mind? Has he shown enough? Are you confident enough in him that if they do make a change at front office, that he should be the coach? Like, part of that should be Amy Adams Strunk saying, all right, we're hiring a new general manager, but looking at the general manager and saying, I like this coach, you've got to keep him, and we'll evaluate again after next year. Or is it to the point where you would give that general manager, if they decide to go that route, free reign to do whatever he wants?
I think she'll mandate it, and it'll be another one of those things where you have to come in and say you like him, whether you do or don't, and try to make it work, and it'll be another, you know, potential for a marriage to go bad quickly. And it's just like the coach coming in liking the quarterback, right? And it's a part of why this organization is bad, because everything's out of sync. And so, you know, Callahan conceivably gets a year with the quarterback that he doesn't love if it goes that direction. And a new GM would get a year with a coach that he doesn't love if it goes that direction, and everything's skewed on the timetable.
I do want to get to this question on the text line. Dear PK, someone has to answer for this, and I think you can get to the bottom of it. Do you put the loss on the marketing team by putting up the Bengals billboard a week early and overlooking an opponent, thus motivating the Jags?
I don't put the loss on that, but I put the crowd on that. There was nobody in that building, and it's because nobody driving on 65. And maybe this billboard was the same on 24 and 40. Nobody knew this game was going on. Now,
this is how I find out what's happening in the world, these billboards.
That means that everybody that buys their tickets because of the billboard was buying not just for 1 week, but for 2 weeks for the Cincinnati game.
That's right.
And that Sunday, the place will be overflowing with Titans fans. So, I mean, we could have record attendance on Sunday.
Standing room only.
This could
Titans
be
Titans-Bengals.
This could be something else.
I mean, this could be, you know, in the old days, it would be what we call a sidebar in the business, an additional story. I would urge Joe to come out, because I think it's really going to be something to see. And I'm sure you're not doing Army-Navy.
I am doing Army-Navy. I actually am.
You draw just, I mean, it's very clear to me that you're low man on the totem pole over there.
Forgetting Army-Navy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting take.
Look, Army-Navy have had nice years, and everybody pretends that they're in the Army-Navy and sleeps in front of Army-Navy. They've not paid attention to Army-Navy all year. They don't really care who wins unless they have somebody.
That's completely untrue.
It doesn't really matter to them unless they have a family member who served in the Army or in the Navy.
I mean, I will not be watching Army Navy.
And they're not going to read what you write about.
I'm watching Predators and the Avalanche.
Well, I think we have a better question, which is from Karen, who says,
is it in Philly, Baltimore? Where is it?
It's in Northwest Stadium, D.C.
Oh, God.
But
that assignment just got way worse.
Oh, boy. Well, get to go see my family. But thanks for your consideration. PK, why are you so negative and mean? By Karen. Thank you, Karen. I think that might be our winning
question. Is that actual Karen?
Yes. I mean, she's
Karen.
She says her name's Karen.
The team has 3 wins. It is awful. I mean, I don't know what you want. Like, let's go back to some basics here. If you want rainbows and sprinkles and ice cream and pom-poms, you are in the wrong place. This team is horrific. Everything is a disaster. I can't imagine what you want positive. But the team's website is available to you at all times. They have a podcast. I can't imagine who's listening to it. But they found something good out of 10-6 Jaguars over Titans. What was her name? Karen.
Karen.
Invite you to go listen to it and give me a summary of Nick Folk's 2 kicks.
Hey, special teams covered well.
They got in. I'm sure they got into that.
615.
Thank you, Karen. That's my winner today.
Our phone number. We'll have more with Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. Go to next. Take more of your Titans questions as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts for Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. on all things Titans. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Best question on our text line will win a $50 gift card to A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa.
Joe leaning hard to Karen.
Joe is leaning hard to Karen so far. Leader in the clubhouse.
Thumbs up, Karen. Way to get right cut right to the bone. That's like PK likes to do, and I think you did too.
Yeah.
But hey, let me give George a little love, though.
Good. Oh, good.
Does Paul think the Titans have bad taste in music? Black Sabbath for the kickoff song? Johnny Cash for the Pain Train? I get it's Nashville, but for football, that is so lame. IMO.
I would like
to weigh in and say Black Sabbath, thumbs up.
The New England Patriots play the best music in the league. What I like about the Titans, and I'm not there early enough in the morning anymore, but when they open the gates, they play It's Easy Like Sunday Morning.
Yeah.
Which is a song that like could put everybody back to bed.
Commodores.
It's the least pump up song in history. Whoever makes that decision is just an idiot.
I disagree. I think it's a jam. Wait, what are the Patriots songs that are so awesome?
The Patriots just play a great mix of rock and roll.
We'll play a lot of Springsteen, probably.
Probably so.
My hometown. Car. She's like, oh yes, give me more.
I mean, they throw in some Bruce, but they'd play something like the National or the War on Drugs, just semi obscure stuff.
Yeah. You like the National?
Really good, yeah.
Did you see them at Ascend last year?
I saw them at what's the small place over by Charlotte and the highway.
You're asking the wrong person, man.
I'd have no idea, but okay. They were cool. They were good at Ascend.
I saw them
indoor at a smaller place.
Okay.
Blanking out.
The front office part of this. You're 3-10. We've talked about the coaching part. You know, obviously, Sunday a step back for Levis and the entire team. Significantly a step back. And, look, at the end of this, they're going to be, whether it's 4-13, 5-12, whatever it is, it's going to be abysmal. Like it's a horrible season. You said it well to end last segment. They're awful. So how do you view this front office, the current setup that they've got, the decision in front of Amy Adams Strunk? Do you think if you had to lean one way or the other right now, is this front office still in charge this offseason when this season comes to an end in January?
Yeah, I mean, I think all along, I've thought that she's going to stick with things as they are and try to give it time. But I can't pretend to know what Amy Adams Strunk is going to do. She does things on a whim sometimes. She's got people whispering in her ear that are influential, unnecessarily influential. I just can't pretend to know. And her opinions of people change pretty quickly. You know, she loved John Robinson until she didn't.
Yep.
She was into Mike Vrabel until she wasn't. Rand Carthon certainly has, you know, her heartstrings until he doesn't. So when is the until he doesn't part? Does somebody have to account for what has happened this year? What were her expectations coming in? How embarrassed is she by what's gone on? How much has it hit them in the pocketbook? How much, you know, does she see potential out of what they have? And is he convincing her, hey, this free agent class, it's just a bad year, man. And when we get all these guys healthy, it's going to be just what I sold you on. And how much does she think, my God, that's a train wreck that he put together?
Well, let me ask you both this question this way then. Independent of Amy Armstrong, independent of what we know the history has been the last couple of years here, is the job that this front office has done through their first two seasons, is it fireable? Is it a fireable offense, what we've seen?
Yeah.
Really? So you'd fire them?
I wouldn't fire them.
But it's a
fireable
offense.
But you could make a case that they should be fired.
Okay. Okay, well, I mean, I would agree that – see, I take his question as, would you fire them, right? Isn't that really the same question? Like, you're in charge.
Well, I think you could sit down and make a pro and con list on whether you should fire them or not, and there is stuff in the pro column.
Oh, of course there is.
Yeah.
Part
of the evaluation, though, like, with this thing with Amy Armstrong is, like, you can't ignore the history, right? Like, you can't ignore what she's done the last couple of years and what you've brought up, some of the red flags that are there. But I'm just saying, independently of all that, independently of the Robinson and the Vrabel and all the turnover and the, you know, making rash decisions left and right, is the job that they've done the last 2 years fireable? I would argue yes.
Okay, so again,
that doesn't mean you have to fire them.
Okay,
it means
okay.
Could you
are
fire
there fireable
them?
Things? Hell yes. Would I fire them? No. I wouldn't fire them. I wouldn't fire
Callahan. I just said that, and he was like, that's crazy that you're saying that.
All right, but I so I make sure we're talking about the same thing. I'm giving them another year, and then basically, and maybe this is unfair to Callahan, but, like, I'm giving the whole thing another year, including him. And
everybody
then,
hops.
And then it's everybody. It's a different timeline for everybody next year if it doesn't get better. How much better? I don't know, but it has to get better. They have to have a fantastic offseason. They have to have a fantastic draft, great free agency. And then next year, Snead needs to play and be a player, and Awuzie needs to play and be a player, and Sweat needs to show that he's on and on and on. So that's me. I'm giving them another year if I'm in charge. But again, that's also me with the information I have and we have. And some people in our business don't really understand the limitations
of
a little
bit. Of the information that we have.
Yep.
But so Amy Adams, again, that's why I've always been saying – Amy Adams Strunk does not want to pay more people to not work for, right?
I agree. Yep.
Amy Adams Strunk does not want people to say, oh, wow, here's the craziest, most totally off-the-hinges owner in the league now who fires people every 5 minutes. She doesn't want that. But she also may have information we don't have. Beyond, we know the product's bad. Are there things in the product that are fireable? Sure. But, again, to me, when you say fireable, I take that as you must fire them. I wouldn't do it. I'd give him one more year.
Here's another thing, a key to what you said. You know, so you keep them, and next year, Snead must play, Awuzie must play, Sweat must be more effective as a pass pressure guy. We could keep going.
Yeah, Latham
with that list.
Must become right. A good player
every week. On and on. So we're ticking off the same list that we ticked off this year.
Yep.
And what did we say? What did I say? All of these guys collectively, 11 free agents and the draft class, aren't all going to play up to expectations at the same time.
Of course.
Well, I said the same thing about next year. All of these guys plus a new group of guys aren't all going to play up to expectations at the same time, at the same thing. So if that's what they need, you know.
Well, you're not going to get it all, but yeah, you got to have enough to
win.
But
you got to have a lot more.
You got to have a winning product next year to some extent.
Yeah, you know, and look, the injury luck, a lot of it is bad luck, but at some point their injury luck's got to change.
Yeah.
And that was a big theme, that they were averse to injury risk. And, you know, I don't know. Cushenberry rolling his Achilles, I don't know that's avoidable. But there's just too much of it that goes on. There's five guys out of the defensive lineup that they expected to have. When does that end?
Well, here's another thing in response to Joe, though. So I hear you on the, does she really want to be known as this owner that is just willy-nilly firing people all the time?
Just saying, that's got to be enter her thought process.
It's
right?
Got to enter her thought process. But that's now turning into, so wait a minute. You fired John Robinson and Mike Vrabel
for this? Yeah.
Right. Like sure. Which spot would you rather be in? Not a good situation.
Neither are
way.
Good.
Yeah,
neither
and I
are
know
good.
The argument on the other side is if you know, if you're saying, well, you know, I'm going to give them more time, but if next year 10 games in it's bad, and I think it might be, I'm going to make a change. Well, then you're forestalling the inevitable. I mean, if there's an element of that to what she's thinking, if there's a big element of that, I could understand pulling the trigger on some people.
Yep, I agree.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have more from Paul Kuharski coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Taking your questions for Paul Kuharski on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1065. 1025. Join Jared Stelman, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason downtown at JBJ's Nashville this Sunday for the pregame show, 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Week 15 matchup against the Bengals, give you the latest updates before the game. Pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. part of the, go ahead.
Two guys from Sayreville and South River, New Jersey, neighboring towns. I used to go to Sayreville to play hoop, and Bon Jovi and I still haven't gotten together. It's crazy.
What are the odds?
Two of us come down to Nashville and make it big, and you would think, you know, we'd have a lot to talk about, a lot in common.
You should have come to our Christmas party at John Bon Jovi's.
I wasn't invited.
I told you to come.
You're not the guy that invites people to the company Christmas party.
Why not?
You're not high ranking.
What are they going to say? It would have been fine. Everybody would have really enjoyed your presence there.
The point is, I wasn't invited by the people who do the official inviting.
But Chase probably just
forgot. Or disrespecting
me to
the same degree that
you
take me for granted.
Well, I mean, we've got an egg business we're building together.
I think Robbie and I are replacing, and I use that word very consciously, Stilly next week for a couple days.
Yeah.
You are. And so are Robbie and I, but then you take my place. Yeah.
Because you have to have time off, obviously.
Well, I have to go to Notre Dame Indiana game. I'm sorry.
Oh, dear God. So you drew the worst. You drew the worst first round game too.
And then
the worst first round game. Those tickets are going for $3K. You're such a hater.
That's because Notre Dame
people
are
idiots. Everything. Yes, exactly. It's because everyone's idiots.
Those Hoosiers.
Enjoy Titans Bengals.
What's that? A 21
point game? Enjoy Titans Bengals Sunday for me, will you?
It's got a better chance of being close than that game.
We'll see.
I'd be interested to see how that one turns out. Going back to the front office discussion, how Levis factors into this too is pretty interesting for me because. Like part of, I think, making the decision to keep this front office in place is, do you have faith that they can solve quarterback? Like, are you resigned if you're Amy Adams Strunk to just saying, you know what, we're giving the front office another year, we're giving Will Levis another year, and we'll reevaluate where everything is after that? Or are you making the quarterback decision this offseason? Because if you're making the quarterback decision this offseason, don't you have to have a pretty high degree of confidence that these are the right people to make that decision?
Yes. Yep. If you're changing quarterback, that says more about – you want continuity for the quarterback. So the new quarterback, you'd want somebody that you're thinking long term. Here's the thing about if you're changing quarterback, I think you'd also want new executives picking that quarterback.
That's what Robbie just said.
Yeah, for the long term. You know, if you're sticking with Levis, it would really kill Levis to have a new coaching staff.
I would
really
agree.
Kill him.
Yeah, I mean, it is. The whole thing is, again, if you just take the blame pie and divvy it up between the three things, front office, coaching, and Levis.
Divvy it up for his.
No, I mean, just divvy it up. Blame pie for this terrible 3-10 team.
For this terrible 3-10 team,
I give half of it to the front office.
I'll go a little bit more. I'll go 55% to the front office just to get ahead of you.
There you go. Okay, but we probably
like a Price is Right kind of.
Yeah.
I think we're all roughly the same.
Without
ballpark,
going over,
though.
Yeah. But so then it's like, well, next year, like we've been talking about the front office, the coach. Well, next year you better have a product. If you're getting this year, first of all. I know I'm talking myself in circles. If you're only doing I'll give him another year, then, again, that's bad ownership. You better be in there, like, tell me what is going on. Explain this move and why it didn't work out. Explain this move and why it didn't, right? Like, you can't just be like, yeah, I hope it works out. Have another year. If you're actively an owner of a team, I hope that's happening.
Agree.
But also,
I absolutely agree.
But also, so if we're talking about you better have a better product next year, you're going to prove it. And then if they think the quarterback's going to hold them back from doing that, that's where it gets interesting too, right? It's like, you know, well, I don't think – I mean, you know, those guys may think, I don't think we can get better than 6 wins with Will Levis as quarterback. I don't know if they think that or not.
Right.
I'm just saying.
But who's the alternative and how many more wins is he getting them? I need that flow chart on everything. Yeah. And the other thing is, I think as a market, as a media market, as a fan market, don't buy hope on anything. That's the prove it thing. There's a prove it offseason, but I'm not saying prove it by the moves you make. I'm saying I'm not buying crap until October. Get on the field and show me something. So you can go sign whoever and draft whoever, and I'll say that nice, looks good. Don't buy it until I see it. Not buying anything fair. Until I see it. Based on what you've done as a front office, based on Brian Callahan's first year, and the most interesting storyline to me, if everything is back, is Brian Callahan studying up in the offseason.
What if a billboard on 65 makes it look really good?
that'd be fun. But I at availability, say, Brian, what have you studied lately? Yeah. What have you found out about the red zone? What have you found out about clock management? What have you found out about X, Y, Z? Have you learned? Is this team going to learn how to run a no huddle? After Nick Holtz said last week, we basically said we are incapable of doing it.
Well, here's another interesting point by Jeff. And look, I don't know how much this is going to weigh into her decision making. I don't know if it's going to weigh into it at all, given the fact that we're still 3 years away from it. But there is the stadium coming, and you know Jeff points out if ownership does nothing, next year is also a debacle. Then they might have real problems filling a stadium. Even though it's going to be in a few years.
I'm going completely against this. I think the state of the – I mean, you want to be good going into a new stadium. I think in terms of filling it and being good, there's a complete disconnect. Every report – and this isn't just from the team saying it. This is from people who have been in there and had their appointments. They have sold great. I think them being good moving into the building has nothing to do with their ability to sell seats in the building. I think especially early. People are going to be fascinated by the building and want to be in the building.
I would agree with that.
There are NFL football teams coming into the building, and there will be NFL football games. And even with a crappy home team, visiting teams are going to be good, a good percentage of them. And there's an NFL football team, NFL football game going on in a new palatial stadium, and people are going to go. And I think it would be great if the team was good, but I don't think it's nearly as important as people imagine. And I think a lot of people who are buying suites and big things there are thinking, I'm going to get to go to WrestleMania. Sure. I'm going to have a chance to go to National Football Championship game for college. I'm going to have a chance to go to the Final Four. I'm going to have first dibs on Taylor Swift and whoever else is coming to play. I got to be in that building.
I think everything – I agree with everything you said, but you don't think that there's some – negative effect on sales for some people whose motivation is the Titans?
Not enough that they're thinking like, oh my God, if we're not good in 2027, all is lost.
Well, the whole conversation with that.
And they're also not
always,
capable of getting good.
The whole conversation with that has always been, to me, ridiculous because you have no idea.
Right.
Will Levis might be an all-pro by then. He might be on his fourth team by then.
Well,
you might be on your third quarterback since him by then.
It's three years from now, and 3 years ago, right now, the Titans were the number one seed heading in.
There you go.
A lot of things can change.
But right now, people are making it like there's a ticking clock that they have to be good in 2027. Well, what does a ticking clock do for them?
Right.
Like they put a timer on a bad franchise and say they have to be good by then. What does that do? How does that make them better? Like if they say we have to be better by 2027, she's going to go out and hire somebody better? Well, she's just failed in her last 2.5 hires or 3 hires or whatever. How does that make her hire better? How does that make her make better decisions?
That's a good point.
That there's a clock on it? Oh, all of a sudden there's a clock on it. Now I'm going to do good work.
But people want...
Joe and I, when we have deadlines, that works for us sometimes, right?
Yeah, for sure.
We might write something better because we're under the clock. But under the clock doesn't do anything for an NFL owner.
And sometimes you run out of eggs and then you blow your deadline. But if you're a fan, you want to, you know, you want to hope that like not showing up, not buying has some effect, right? You want to believe
buying.
That.
Idiots are buying.
Here we go. Paul Kuharsky has called all Titans fans idiots. Everybody, mark it down.
I don't think just anybody. They've got two home games
left.
Put
it on a billboard.
They've got two home games left. It should look worse than Jacksonville for both of those games. Do not go to these games.
But you just said it doesn't matter.
Well, I don't think it matters much, but visually it's embarrassing.
Okay.
Make it visually embarrassing. Clip this. Make it visually embarrassing for Amy Adams Strunk. Sunday against Cincinnati and in the finale against Houston. Make that stadium an NFL embarrassment. Whether it hits her in the pocket or not.
It's pretty close to that.
Make
Sunday.
It so that we take pictures and they get retweeted around the league and people say, my God, the Titans can't get anyone in the building. That's one way to maybe affect something.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You just said that it won't matter.
Maybe it embarrasses her. That's how many alternatives.
You just want her to be embarrassed.
How many options do you have?
Not very many.
Clip that, Nick.
That's it. Back to 102.5 The Game phone line. welcome in Jared in Mount Juliet. Jared, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, so I'm one of those idiot Titan fans that I had my appointment. It's been about 2 weeks ago, and I got my seats. I'm really excited.
Are you filthy rich?
I'm not filthy rich, no, but
he's clean rich.
I couldn't write him a check fast enough. I mean, the for anybody listening, the tour is amazing. The new stadium is going to be incredible. There are better days ahead. My frustration, and I disagree with what Paul. I subscribe to your side. You're my favorite. Sports commentator, whoever.
All right, let's calm it down. Just get to your point.
You're representative of the city. We get it.
Yeah. So I disagree with what you said. We're going to the Christmas game on Sunday. I was a Vrabel guy. I think we fired a proven winner who knew what it took to lead a locker room. My concern is with this, we are losing winnable games. And when I look at, we traded the coach we had, who I understand didn't play nice in the sandbox, but neither did Bill Belichick or Nick Saban or the other people that have been successful. But when I see him, you know, Callahan standing at the podium, getting emotional after a win against New England, I'm starting to question, okay, can this guy lead a group of alpha males? That's what we've losing these games like Sunday is, it's hard to overstate how bad of a loss that was. I think we give him a second year. I think you have no choice as a franchise at this point. You got to give him another year. I think you got to give Levis another year. But if it's not any better, then I do something after year two. But it didn't affect me at all. And I can tell you, being on the Facebook pages, you know, with the PSL holders and the 22nd element and all that, people can't get in those meetings fast enough. I don't think there's a correlation between the two. But I enjoy the show and appreciate you taking
you
my
You win
call.
The prize.
Thanks, Jared.
Congratulations. Jared. Here's one thing he said that I think
comes
is interesting.
In second to Karen, but go ahead.
Here's one thing that he said that's interesting. Leading a group of alpha males. How many alpha males do they have? This is something we could spend time going through the roster.
They could all kick your ass in 4 seconds. Oh,
of course. That doesn't make somebody an alpha male to beat me up.
That's a good point.
If that's your... I mean, everybody's an alpha male if that's your qualification.
The entire human race is made up of alpha males.
You get my point?
Yeah.
They don't have the number of alpha males they've had in the past.
I do, but I think, I get his point better than yours.
No, he made a good point. Everybody wants to go to this thing. We've said it. On the Vrabel front, look, there's a good thread going around that says, like, to everybody that says this would never happen under Vrabel, and it's got, like, eight of Vrabel's worst games. And Vrabel lost a lot of bad games over the last 2 years. But I think people are saying, like,
they started losing all the close games that he was winning all the time.
Right. Yeah. But Vrabel wouldn't have lost the Chicago game this year. Vrabel would not have lost the Jaguars game this year. I don't think Vrabel would have lost the Jets game. I mean, I think what people are saying is if you overlay Vrabel onto what they have now,
right,
which is a much better roster than he had the last 2 years. Still not a good roster, but a better backbone.
Much better?
A better backbone roster. You don't think this roster versus last season's roster?
I think it's better. Much? Yeah. Much?
I think Vrabel with the backbone of a roster is a very good coach, and this has a backbone of a roster.
We'll have one more segment with PK coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. Joe, people calling out PK on the text line.
Well, one person said they think you're dumb, but they want to hear you every day, so I like that. But I agree with some contradicting of yourself today. You're saying they have this backbone roster and all this stuff, but also that it's fireable.
Look, a backbone roster, I'm talking like a
good
coach.
A much better roster.
A good coach can do some things with a team that finally has a competent left tackle most of the time, a deep threat wide receiver who can make some explosive plays that they haven't had in a billion years, and some cornerbacks.
Brian Summers is wondering how Mike Vrabel's coaching would have erased the miracle flip from existence. You're saying that Levis would not be turning it over with Vrabel as his coach.
Yeah, I think Mike Vrabel did a pretty good job of coaching his team not to do dumb bleep that hurt the team.
But they still did.
And that would have...
They did that sometimes.
They did it sometimes, but I think they were... I think Will Levis would have played smarter football out of the gate with Mike Vrabel. Am I crazy?
Robbie, you can jump in on this one. Well, this seems a little questionable.
I mean, did Levis do any of that crap with Vrabel last year?
Did you see him flipping balls? Did you see him flipping interceptions?
He didn't happen to do it last year. He didn't happen to. So you're saying that Brian Callahan came in, the quarterback whisperer, and all of a sudden Levis like, woohoo, I've been throwing it all over the yard.
I don't know.
So why not fire Brian Callahan then?
Do we think he did great quarterback whispering early? One of my big things with Brian Callahan is everything's been too slow. For a month, they played Treylon Burks over Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
That's a fair point.
For a month, Treylon Burks. Now, that's also on Rand Carthon, who's got to tell him when he comes in the door, Treylon Burks is not good. Who should have told him when he came in the door, Nick Petitfrère is not good. And who did not give him good intel on what he inherited, clearly. Clearly.
Clearly.
Yeah. I mean, they are coaching them daily, seeing them on the field. You don't think they can make decisions based on their daily work with these guys?
Well, if you made decisions based on Burks' training camp all the time, you'd think he was an all-pro.
Well, that's right.
That's what Rand has to tell him. He's going to be good in training camp, and when he gets into a game, he's going to hurt his hip every 5 seconds. He's going to fall down hard, and he's going to be completely unreliable. Here are some things that the practice tape might not tell you. Well, do you think he had that conversation?
Right, but if
I'm 100% sure he did not have that conversation.
No, but if he believed that, then why even have him on the team? You know what I mean? If
I agree entirely.
All right, so we've gotten back to the issue.
He's under contract, and he's affordable. That's why you have him on the team.
Gentlemen, great stuff. Good luck in your egging business that we've concocted today here on the program.
Yes. Stay tuned for further business plans. Don't block the box.
And lock
your locks.
Chase and Big Joe coming up next. Hope everybody has a great rest of their day. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.